This is the backup video if the Wi-Fi has, to quote Leanne, fallen over at West Glasgow. I'm delighted to be at West Glasgow New Church today. A group of people I love and a group of people who love me back. I'm going to talk about faith and anxiety. If you think anxiety or worry equates to a lack of faith, you've been fooled. If you think anxiety equates to a lack of faith, you have been fooled. Anxiety is normal even in people with the deepest and richest faith. It's normal in the wisest and most successful people. And the difference is that some people will tell you they have anxiety in some form, and maybe even what they do about it. And that others will tell you they don't and are lying to you. Or, maybe worse, they're lying to themselves. Let's look at four people from the Bible with anxiety and see if there's anything relevant in their stories for us. Luke 22:44. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. This is Jesus. The night he was betrayed by Judas and about to be arrested. I wonder how many times you've felt anxiety as a bodily experience, something that courses through your body. Genesis 12:13. Say you're my sister, so that I'll be treated well for your sake and my life will be spared because of you. This is Abraham, the father of the Abrahamic faiths, talking to his wife when walking into a new town. They'll kill me because you're good looking. And Abraham did this every time he went into a new town and poor Sarah was sent off. How many times has your anxiety come in the form of catastrophic thinking? If this happens, then that may, and what if, and in, and in, and in. Luke 22:54. Then, seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. And when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him." But he denied it. "Woman, I do not know him," he said. This is Peter, the rock, whose name means rock. The rock upon whom Jesus intended to build the church, denying that he even knew Jesus and following at a distance. How many times has anxiety led you to say or do things that are in no way aligned with who you want to be? How many times has anxiety changed your behaviour? Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer from the ends of the earth. I call to you, I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. This psalm is a cry and a call from someone whose heart grows faint. And I love what St. Athanasius says about the psalms, that they are movements of the human soul where we see ourselves portrayed. My NHS colleague Adam Burley talks about how often people are told to take their vulnerabilities and needs and just put them in a box somewhere. How many times have you felt the emotion of anxiety and desire to cry out, but somehow just squashed it down and put it in a box? I wonder what you notice about these four scriptures with anxious people. I wonder if you notice what form the anxiety took. These four stories indicate the four places within us that anxiety can emerge. In the body, as with Jesus, sweating blood. in our thoughts, as with Abraham as he travelled with his wife, in our behaviour, as with Peter, through avoidance and denial, in our emotions, as expressed through the psalmists. The first chapter of the book of the Bible, the first chapter of the first book of the Bible, in Genesis 1:26 says this: "Then God said, let us make human beings in our image, to be like us." By our very creation, our very essential nature, we are made for relationship, made for community, intrinsically valuable but uniquely different. And like our stones today, we uniquely carry our own dirt, burden and anxiety. We're made in the image of God, Father, Spirit and Son, and each of us will relate to God in different ways. Maybe you can identify with a desire for the assurance of the God the Father, or the visceral, grounded presence of the person of Jesus, or maybe the flow and energy of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to offer four questions and not four solutions about what you might do with anxiety, because each of you are different. I'm going to offer four questions about what you might do with anxiety that appears in your thoughts, in your feelings, in your body, and in your behaviours. And in these four questions, I hope that what's able to emerge in you is a sense of what John describes in chapter 7, in quoting Jesus, to experience ourselves with the rivers, the living rivers of water flowing through us, which is to know Jesus, rather than to experience life with all our vulnerability and needs boxed up, squashed away. So let's begin with our thoughts. What would you think about the future, about yourself, about the stuff that wakes you in the night, the stuff in your own well of worry, if it was true that God could see you and could hear you and was always with you? What if all your stuff really mattered to God? And what if God said, I'm for you? In fact, what if God said, I'm for you, I'm with you, I always was, and I always will be? How would you think about your future and yourself if God always had been, always is, and always will be with you and for you? Now, emotions. What if the felt emotions you had about social media, friendships, relationships, job security, the stuff of life itself, were not only permissible and allowed, but welcomed by God? Like Linda said a few weeks ago, that the casting upon of worries to God as something to be welcomed, you know, not like, oh, right, all right, I'll take your burdens this week, but don't bring any more next week. What if it was like, I'm here to hear this. This is a safe place for you to cast things. What if God was interested in the voice you might give to your emotions? Where would you take them and how would you share them? Now, our behaviour and what we do. What if God had an intention for your life, an invited purpose for you? And I'm not talking about something magical or mysterious or super specific. My purpose might be to be kindness, or to help the forgotten, or to live with courage, like, or whatever your own version of bringing the kingdom of heaven to the here and now is. If you were to live from today aligned with even some of God's invited purpose for you, what would you start doing today? What would you stop? What would this coming week look like And what would others see you doing? Where would you be going? Where would your time be going? What if you lived with purpose? What would be different? And finally, our body. What would it mean for your body if you could take the communion bread and receive the body of Jesus, which was broken, not for cosmic kudos, but because your body matters to him? Because your body mattered so much to him that he was willing to give his up. What would it mean if you were to listen to your body and not view it as a weakness or a gateway to sin, but as a gift from God, not dependent on it working or looking a certain way, but as a vehicle for you to be you? And so, to close, I invite you to join this prayer and to fill your own words in the gaps. Loving God, I bring the worries that fill my mind today, such as, I bring the anxiety that runs through my body, particularly in my, I bring the feelings that come up inside me, especially when, and I bring the things that I do when I'm worried that don't help me honour you or help me live my life. I thank you that you're with me, that you're with us, that you always were and always will be. Help me live with your purpose, your love, and your redeeming compassion, today and always. Amen.